the word of the Lord. Just as important, just as precious now as it was then.
Right.
Amen. Said the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." You know, I meditated on that a little bit. This one, I never saw this before, but she didn't know it. She had been commanded. She didn't know it, buddy. She was getting ready to use that meal. That Elijah's come to have a cake first out of it. She didn't know she'd been commanded. There's a lot of times you've been commanded and I've been commanded to do things that you don't even know anything about, and I don't know anything about, but that's already done. And God probably has commanded us. Mark, tell me, way back before the foundation of the world was ever laid.
Right.
Give a command.
Amen.
God said, "I commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil and in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." That teaches me something there. That teaches me that you put the man of God first. Amen. That's right. Why? Because he's God's man.
Right.
He's God's man. And he's standing in for God. And put the man of God first, you put God first. Amen. That's right. And said, "And bring it unto me." And after, he said, "Make for thee and for thy son." "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain on the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. All right. I want to bring you a message today on this thought, if you will. Finding Jesus at the bottom of the barrel. Finding Jesus at the bottom of the barrel. I think about Daniel when he was taken to the lion's den. You know, I believe when Daniel was taken to the lion's den by the guards of Darius the king, I believe that he could hear the lions growl before he ever got to the den. I do. I believe he could hear their hungry growl. Right? Might even been able to hear their old their insides a roar and a growl for hunger. Back in that day and time, they was told that they would starve the lions and the animals to the point where they would starve to death before they'd feed them somebody, so they could just turn the lions and turn to shreds. And I believe old Daniel might have heard the claws as they raked the walls of the lion's den, sharpening their claws on the walls of the lion's den. But you talk about fear if you come up when you hear things like that.
Right.
Amen. I'm telling you, old devil, you think the devil won't use stuff like that against you?
Right.
You ever been out visiting before you ever get to the house? You start hearing the door things open. Maybe they don't want you, they don't want to talk with you. Might slam the door in your face or say something abusing to you. Have you ever been in that place before? Say, man, like the ground of lions and the den of lions that Daniel was getting ready to be thrown into. Buddy, I believe that when they threw him over that wall into the den of lions, I believe the lions spread out and cushioned his fall.
Amen.
I do. And maybe roll over and just kind of purr. Like an old house cat, and licked him a couple times in the face, and just laid down by him, kept him good warm all night long. You say, "Preacher, what makes you think that?" Because I believe Jesus was there at the den of the floor. I do. at the floor of the lion's den, I believe he found Jesus. Amen?
Right.
Waiting on him there. I know, I believe that with all my heart. You think about old Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And when Nebuchadnezzar put forth the decree, all who would not worship the image that he set up in the plain of Dura there, that they would be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And they would not bend and they would not bow. Amen? And when the, I believe when the guards of the men of Nebuchadnezzar took, drugged Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up to the door of the fiery furnace, the entrance of that thing, the Bible said that the heat was so intense that it killed those that threw them in to the fiery furnace. Now you think about that.
Amen.
Boy, you think about the roar that come out of that thing when they were being taken up there. And the heat from that thing that would kill two men just standing there throwing that in, killed them.
Right.
But never, they, when they came out, said there wasn't no smoking smell of it. But here's what I want to get to you. Buddy, when they got down there, they found that Jesus was already there. Wait a minute. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar walked up, looked in, and he said, did not we throw three men in? He said, yet I see four down there. And he said, one is likeness of the Son of God.
Yes.
Jesus was already there.
Very much.
Down,
very much.
Back and forth on the floor of that furnace.
Amen.
What a blessing that is to think about that today. That the Lord had already got there before they were thrown in and air conditioned the furnace. Amen.
All right.
Praise God. I believe we're just as nice as it could be. It's kind of like what it is out here today. It's a nice, cool day. And they were thrown into that fiery furnace and they killed those two worldly guards.
Right.
And never burned a hair on their head. And the smell of smoke wasn't even found on them when they came out. What a God we're serving today.
And
oh, I tell you right now, I can stop right there and shout about
it. Yes. Amen.
That's we wouldn't need anything else today.
That's right.
We'd be like Moses. I said that Daniel found Jesus at the bottom of the lion's den. I said that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found Jesus at the bottom of the fiery furnace. But this little widow of Zarephath found Jesus at the bottom of the furnace.
Right.
Amen. That's exactly what she did. She found Jesus at the bottom of the barrel. He said, without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
He was at the bottom of the barrel. He was already there, praise God.
Yes, sir.
Look at the text that will be chosen, verse 16 of Kings chapter 17. Look at verse 16. It said, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
Right.
Amen. She met Jesus there at that barrel, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, she had a good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in that barrel as you'll ever find anywhere on the face of this earth.
Amen.
Amen. Daniel had as good a picture of Jesus in the lion's den as anybody will ever have. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had as good a picture of Jesus there in the fiery furnace as you and I will ever have.
Right.
And we find it here in the blessed word of truth today.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Jesus was there. He was there to sustain her and Elijah and the child.
Right.
That's why he was there for her. Thank God he was sustaining God.
Amen.
Jesus and Terrence Force takes care
of
us. Oh, I tell you, if people would get on fire for God, and
realize
what Jesus is to you today, without him you wouldn't have a job, you wouldn't have a house, you wouldn't have friends for place to haul you around in, and you wouldn't have a mate today. If it weren't for Jesus, amen.
He's
God in the glory. He's God, very God. Everything we have today comes at the hand of Jesus. And we take it so lightly today. Preacher like myself, and preach the word of God. Of the influence of the Holy Ghost upon us. Yet the congregation said, and neglect to hear the word of God. They neglect to pay attention to the word of God. They neglect to do what God tells them to do.
Right.
Amen. It's a truth.
Yes, sir. Bro.
It's sad. It's sad how God is long-suffering to all of us. And how God labors long with the man of God.
Works him up, gives him a message, gives him insight. Send him out to the flocks of Pharaoh and give him to land for food. And it does very little good to any of them because they don't pay attention to it. They don't take it to heart.
Right.
I guarantee you one thing. If your boss told you, said you're going to be fired the very next time you're late,
yeah.
I guarantee you, buddy, you set your alarm clock 5 hours from work time, so you just won't be there.
Amen.
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 That's right. You miss another day's work, and you're going to be fired. I guarantee you, see to it, you will miss another day's work.
Right.
Hey, listen, you would have that job if it wasn't for the Lord.
Right.
They would have their factory or whatever means of work if it wasn't for the Lord. All good things come down from God. Surely employment for people on this earth is of God.
Amen.
Amen. He feeds us and clothes us. That's the main why he feeds us and clothes us. We need to put him ahead of the employer, ahead of everybody.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's what we need to learn, every one of us to. If we want God's blessings upon our church, well, I want God's blessings upon my church. I'm a pastor of it, I'm a member of it, and I want his blessings upon my family. Therefore, I'm going to put Jesus first. Amen. I must put Jesus first. And Jeremiah 23, verse 23, he said, as God said, am I God at hand, saith the Lord, not a God afar off, but he's a very present help in trouble, no matter where you're at.
Right.
He's God. He said, do not I feel heaven and earth? Amen. He's God. He fills the entire atmosphere. Every little square inch of this entire universe, God feels. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Because you can't get away from God's presence. I don't want to get away from you. Praise God. Amen. I want the influence of God upon me at all times. Matter of fact, sometimes the old flesh, it gets so strong that I don't feel like I've got the influence of the Holy Ghost on me the way I want it to be on me and the way I need it to be on me. And I need to find me a place and stop for a little while and get a hold of God and some head. A prayer goes a hole in the sky. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
God, help us today.
Help us.
Help us as we try to preach, Lord. Oh, finding Jesus at the bottom of the barrel. There's an old saying, I'm just about to use it for the title of this message. It'd be a good message. I think the title of this message, straight from the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Amen. A lot of times you got to do that, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. I like that old saying, the school thing, straight from the bottom of the barrel. You ever been there?
Yes, sir, brother.
Well, I remember saying to myself, well, we're just straight from the bottom of the barrel. Buddy, I remember that was real frequently seen back when I was a boy growing up back in the late 40s and early 50s. That wasn't too long after the Depression. It wasn't right after the World War II, the drain of this country. Of everything and resource we had to fight that war and to help the Allied command to fight that war.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people straight from the bottom of the barrel trying to make ends meet.
Right.
It's a rough time, buddy. I remember my old daddy and my uncle went up to West Virginia trying to get on the mines and took a jar of peanut butter and a box of crackers with them. They eat on that plane for 2 days. That's all they had. They stopped and they'd eat a piece of peanut butter crackers and keep on going.
Right.
Amen. Thumbing them around, riding the train, they think they took, trying to get to a certain mine that was hard and wasn't trying to give them a job.
Man.
Hey, that ain't straight to the bottom of the barrel. I don't know what it is.
You're right.
Amen.
You're right.
I remember Brother Robert Jenkins, one of the dearest preacher brothers I've got in this world. I love Brother Jenkins like a blood brother. I do. He is a blood brother. We're just trying to do the blood of Christ.
Right.
I remember Brother Jenkins telling me that he and Sister Nancy and their children got on the mission field over in the West Indies back in 1970, I believe it was. He said they got on out there out on the island of Dominique, and they left with pretty good support. He said half the churches quit singing anything. Woe be on. I tell you, judgment will fall on a low down church, Brother Tom. They drop their mission money on a missionary. If they take him on or her on and they're on the field and drop their support for them while they're on the field, judgment will come to that bunch one day.
Amen.
You will believe it many times there has preachers. Brother Jenkins said, we made it all right, he said. He said, I pulled green bananas, and he said, and slashed them up, and Nancy fried them, and God took them, paper through, and we lived on those things, he said, for months.
Amen.
fried greens and bananas.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I tell you, they were scraping the bottom of the barrel, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Amen.
I can give you time and time again.
Yeah.
The bottom of the barrel.
Right.
But if you believe, and I thought we were saved, we went back to Ohio and get back to Kentucky, promised land. And Ford was a hard thing down here. And but they were just working 2 or 3 days a week. And a lot of those days were the 4-hour days. And you had to have a year in before you could get subpay, get paid for the entire day. And you thought that's a good job as well. So how to come back to the Kentucky and pull through all the military products to me. How's the weather? Making good money, you know, boy. Making good money. Like the world, we just wanted to get back down south. Because I tell you, you take a pull out of the south, you can't take the south out of the north.
Amen.
I'm a Kentuckian, buddy.
Yes, sir.
I'm Kentucky born, Kentucky bred. When I die, I'll be Kentucky day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Hallelujah.
We got back down here, son, and I got to work 3 days a week, and those days were 2 or 3 hour days, 4 hour days, and that was just barely making enough money. I tell you, to get a little milk for our babies and pay our rent. We didn't even have money for gas at the time. I tell you, that's so bad. You ask my wife. I took my watch off my arm. She bought me about a year and a half before that. When first Christmas we was together when we got married in 1967. And took my watch. Tried to pawn that thing in the pawn shop. They didn't want to give me nothing. So I didn't pawn it. Tell them to give it to them.
Right.
That's how bad it got.
She
said, we had hard times. But at least break the bottom of the barrel many a time.
Right.
I believe God was watching over us back then.
Yes, sir.
I believe God held on that.
Amen.
All his knowledge.
Yes, amen.
I knew that one day
he is.
He knew one day we would receive Christ in our faith.
Amen.
Become a part of the great family of God.
Yes.
And I would be a preacher of the gospel.
Right.
Amen. God took care of us.
Certainly.
And God helped us.
Yes.
Just like he took the little widow's hair and path. And straight in the bottom.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was in that earth.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I guarantee you can find him in some places you never figured he'd be.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I guarantee you can.
Right.
You can find him in the prisons.
Amen.
You'll find him even in the houses of prostitution. That's right. I'll guarantee the Holy Ghost of God goes into the places where you never think he'd go to deal with the hearts of people.
All right, sir.
You witness to somebody. Where will they go? I'll guarantee you the witness will go with them.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Praise God.
Amen.
That was certainly a God like that.
Amen.
David said, work him out, please, when I pray.
Right.
He said, if I send the heaven to hold out there, if I just send him to hell, behold, thou art there.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You can't get away from God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I've done some hard times. And God brought through all of it. But now I can say, as a child of God, like the psalmist said, there in Psalm 37, verse 25, he said, I have been young, and now I am old. Boy, I can relate to that. Yet have I not seen. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. That's you and I.
Right.
Then he said, nor his seed. That's your children. Begging bread. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
That's right. God can promise Peter that he will not forsake us.
Right.
He'll care for us. And meet our needs.
Right.
Amen. Not really all the time our wants, but our needs. And he'll meet our children's needs too. So God's feeding your children. Amen. Take care of your children. He promised you, but he will. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love that, don't you?
Right.
What a God we serve. Let me give you a few questions here quickly this morning. Have you been at the bottom of the barrel when no one else seemed to care? You ever been there? Well, no one seemed to care for you at all. No one seemed like they wanted to help you. No one wanted to listen to you. You ever been there? Some crazy ones you ever been there. I've been there, brother, where you felt like you were completely exiled to a place out in the humanity where no one wanted to come around you.
Right.
It's like you had a bad odor about you or something. Had a smell about you. Amen. I've been there. I have. I'm telling you. I really have. I have. Even preachers, you know. Seems like they didn't even come to my aid.
Amen.
Right. Now, I really believe sometimes the Lord allows us to get to that place, really.
Right.
And it's seeing the importance of the Spirit in our life.
I do.
I really do. A lot of times God's got to put us between a hard place and a brick wall.
make us see, you know, where our help comes from. The Bible says, my help comes from the Lord.
Right.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth. Don't do things like that. I really believe that with all my heart. I do. Buddy, I've been there, and I didn't feel like anybody else seemed to share it at all. Like the bottom of our trying to scrape something up that helped my spiritual being.
Right.
Amen. That's right. I mean, not really looking to God the way I ought to. Your flesh will get you in that place.
Right.
Amen. You need to overcome your flesh. Like I said, I want to go crazy and see a hole in the sky. Amen. But your flesh will get you to work. What's the use? And you don't want to get like that. You get like that, buddy, just young and need before God. I find a brother or sister in Christ and talk to them. Amen. Call your preacher. Have your preacher pray for you. Even your preacher might feel like that, but God is enabled a preacher. He's enabled to preach with the counsel of his people any time, no matter how he feels. He has. And through that counsel, the preacher will get there today. Many times I've done that. You ever not visit and didn't really feel like visiting? You got to visit somebody and talk to them about the Lord. Before you leave there, you're going to stay for revival. You've been there?
Right.
Amen. That's right. That's the way God works. But I'll assure you that I've been at the bottom of the barrel when no one else seemed to care. At all, but God did. Amen. Paul found himself like that a lot of times.
He did.
You read the epistles of Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, 17, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. What about that? But all men forsook me. Now he said all men. He's talking about the preacher too.
Yes,
all men forsook me.
Right.
And they were afraid to get around Paul. Kind of like some of them are afraid to get around the president. They're afraid to hurt their election or what have you. I remember old Jane Northrop did books like that a few years ago, and she got knocked out, but I really believe that.
Yes.
I do. Praise God. He's our leader.
Right.
Amen. I can't go act like that.
Right.
We've done what he could do. I guarantee you one day he's done a lot of good things in this country. He's not done everything just right. But he's got, listen, I'll assure you if you get that brother Rick Clayton is trying to get in there, you'll never see some of the things that George W. Bush has done get done. I guarantee you, he won't be on the field. I mean, he won't pass a bill that do away with partial birth abortion.
Right.
He'll never pass a bill like that.
Right.
He's for abortion. Did you know that?
Right.
Oh, stop right here. Just share a few things. I've been reading about that good for nothing. Looks like the devil's a Western in you.
Yeah.
He's Western big time, I'm telling you right now, he is. But if he gets in, I heard his judgment might be right on the back side of him.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Well, we might be getting out of here and all hell is going to break loose or murder or whatever.
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. Get both houses and that thing in there, Lord. God, it'll be awful.
Yeah.
It'll be awful if things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't want to get on that this morning, but I'm telling you right now, he said all men forsook me. I pray God, he said, that it may not be laid to their charge. What about that? Notwithstanding, he said, Lord, stood with me and strengthened me.
Yeah.
And he'll always stand with you. He will. He always will. Blessed Holy Spirit is the one that comes alongside. He's a comforter. And he'll strengthen you. He'll take care of you. Amen. Let me ask you another. Have you ever been to the bottom of a barrel of do nothing? I mean the bottom of a barrel of do nothing. You're right at that bottom and you don't want to do anything. You don't feel like doing anything. You don't want to do anything.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times when you minister, you're not going the way you want to go. You get in that state of mind very easily if you're not careful. But that shows I separate the real preacher, the God called preacher from man called preacher.
Right.
But most times the man called preacher will leave the ministry.
Right.
When he gets to that place, he'll retire in the church.
Yeah.
But a God called preacher stands up on his hind legs and back a little down there.
Right.
That's
right.
Will, because he's right. In man, they ain't in that man called preacher.
Yeah.
The top of God's on there, amen. I guarantee when the top of God's on you, you can't get away from it. You know it.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You don't want to get away from it. Your flesh wants to, you don't want to.
Right.
It's kind of like you as a child of God. You might not want to come to church, your flesh will. When you get in the house of God, in your spirit, you're glad you're in the house of God. That's where the man of God is. He might not feel like going to preach. He might not want to do anything about that. But when you just go to the house of God, and God is on him, and God begins to rise, he is saying, I guarantee he's
ready
to profess.
Yes,
he's still his church.
Yes,
he's preaching the word of God,
ladies
and gentlemen, preaching. Amen. You can't get in that.
You can't get the bottom of the barrel and do nothing.
Right.
You don't want to do anything, but just sit down.
Right.
Just leave me alone, let me get in the, you know, get in the old Elijah state of mind.
Yeah.
Amen, and just run off, find you a tree to lay down under and go to sleep. Sometimes I just get so weary, I just want to lay down and rest and sleep. Just get away from it. Amen. I'm telling you, God ain't got to call on you, buddy. You quit. I remember, I'm sure this when you poured. I remember when we started this work over here in 1981, 27 years ago, this November, over here in Andrews. I remember the first 6 months I was there. Buddy, we'd head home from Sunday morning services, and I'd get to drive us home. You know I'd wait by the day. I'd have to get her to drive us home. We'd get home, I'd be so tired. She said, what do you want for dinner? I said, I don't want anything. So let me get in there and lay down. That's what I'm going to lay down. I fought the devil so hard, I'm telling you. I got beat there. The death, every time I turned around over there, but the devil, I'm telling you, get talked about the people I find to help, do more, took money out of my pocket to give the people over there to help them out, bought the clothes to wear at church, and give money to the blind man horse to fill the clothes and banks, and then turn right around and talk about me like a dog. I tell you, buddy, you try pastoring a bunch like that. You try to work with a bunch like that. You ain't got the call of God on you. You ain't got the anointing all from heaven upon you to preach the gospel. I guarantee you will not fool with a bunch like that.
Amen.
Every time I go back, you know, I told you, I don't know how it's long I can stand this. I'm about ready to just quit the whole thing. Every time I get back over in that little rich field we start out in, boy, I just feel so good inside. Just glad and proud that I was a man of God. Stand up and preach the word of God. Amen. Like a man fighting fire. I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But you can. You can. And get it to the bottom of the barrel. I'll do nothing. You can. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Just always remember that God's able. Amen. I guarantee you, he's able to set the table.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes I come in here, Brother Rudy, and I don't feel like I got a thing to put on the table for the people of God.
Yeah.
I tell you this morning, God is able to set the table.
Yeah.
But I tell you, when the Queen of Sheba came to the house of Solomon, and she saw that all his people seated at his table, and all the things they set the table with, I guarantee she saw Solomon ascend to his throne of ivory, inlaid with purest gold, of a Bible skin, and there was no more spirit left in her. She fainted dead away.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you better send you things every once in a while. And to see the setting on the table of the Lord.
Every
day, here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, I guarantee you go to some of these churches today, you won't get nothing but a bowl of cracker soup.
That's
all you'll get. Amen. You leave there and you say, Lord God, I'm hungry. I need more than that. I've been to some meetings where I had to go out and find me a plate to eat at about 8:30. Amen, I have. I'm telling you, starved to death.
Amen.
I've been a lot of them like that. With you, brother?
Yes, sir.
Put them little bowls down like that and have 150 people going to eat. Good man, they don't know how to cook. I guarantee you the Holy Ghost of God knows how to cook.
Amen.
He pictures the very thing God I can. Amen.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know what? I'm not carrying me when I come in. Amen. I just come in and sit on the table and you don't even know anything about it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Let us be there. Amen.
Right.
I bless the Lord for that.
Amen.
Many a time I come in here with my little old master of goods and I thank the Lord that I can set the table with this.
Yeah.
And God said, son, don't you worry about it. I got some things I'll put away this time.
Yeah.
We'll set a good table for you.
Amen.
I know how God works.
Yes.
I've served him long.
Right.
Amen. I know how it works. I got faith that there's always going to be something on the table of the Lord.
Yes.
For the people of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Have you ever been to the bottom of a barrel not knowing what to do next? Now, a pastor finds himself out many times. I'm guaranteed to say, no, Lord, he pastored.
You caught yourself in that temper that before.
Right.
Not knowing what to do next.
Right.
Maybe concerning a family, something needs to be dealt with in that family, maybe one member, but you think, if I deal with that one member, the whole family is going to get upset and I might lose the whole family. You don't know what to do. You're walking my shoes every once in a while. And then the devil will get wind of that and he'll say, aha, there's something I can use on you. I'll either let you or dead. Then you get that thing settled, buddy, you won't get no sleep. Amen. I tell you the truth. And you get to where you don't know what to do. And the devil starts speaking in your ears. I didn't speak in my ears. I've got you, Michael Duncan. I've got you. I finally got you right where I want you. What are you going to do now? Have man in my church. Years ago, he's dead now in eternity. Called me on the phone and said, what are you going to do now? No, we're not there. Ain't going to build that church. House now, we're not there. I said, we're going to do exactly what we've always done. We're going to trust the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
We got along just fine. After they left, about 20 people come in and see why they left.
Yeah, that's right.
They stayed.
Amen.
There's no time that we have ground and we begin to build for the Lord. Amen. I guarantee you what old Dr. Lee Roberts used to say, when you don't know what to do next, don't do anything.
Amen.
Just trust the Lord. That's what you got to do. Yes, am I right, Dr. Tom? You just got to trust the Lord.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
It's just better to keep your mouth shut.
Right. Amen.
I'll be honest with you. This goes on radio, but it's a little bit out. I was invited to preach in Jubilee tomorrow evening. Jubilee. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really want to go. I just didn't want to go. There's some things I didn't want to go. They just don't jive with me, come down. You know what I'm saying? You've been there, brother, I didn't want to go, but I thought maybe the Lord must have helped this brother out. So I'll tell him I'll go. So I told him and the Lord the last of the day, he's done monkey on my back. Well, then this family up and asked me to come by and visit with them on Monday evening before you were. And I said, yes, what do you think? If he knew I didn't want to go, I thought about it. Then I got to think about it and got home. Like, Lord, I have to be in that new book. And I thought, I'll go down there and mark, sir. So I went down there. Yes, pulled in the driveway. I said, please pull back out. Went down and got some gas, come back. I thought, well, I'll go to church and paperwork if he's nice. And I'm going go back down. I go back down. I still couldn't get any peace. Could not get any peace to go back down. It seemed like I said, no, you need to go on a Monday. And I thought, well, I'll go on a Monday morning, which wasn't a good idea. Monday evening's the best time to go. Holy Ghost said. So I come into church this morning, and I think about calling him. And before I could call him, I thought, I better check my call this morning on the voicemail. And I checked my call, and the first one that they called said, I have canceled the Jubilee. He said, won't be having, just thought I'd call you and let you know we won't be having a Jubilee. And I said, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. God works things out for you.
Amen.
Amen. I thought back home and said, you know, brother, I've got a appointment I have got to keep, and I wouldn't be lying. And I've got to keep it, and I won't be able to make that Jubilee tomorrow. And I would think I'd done that seriously, but God would have took care of me.
Amen.
Amen. God works that way. When you don't know what to do next, just don't do anything. And trust the Lord. That's right, Brother Terry. Wait on the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Just wait on the Lord. In James chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work. And what that's saying is you just let patience work it out. Let patience work it out.
Amen.
I've had to do that many times, and sometimes I didn't do that. I didn't wait on God. I tried to do things myself. I tried to take the bull with the horn, and I messed up.
Right.
And I got all kinds of trouble for it.
Amen. That's right.
I'm learning.
Wait on the Lord.
Oh, I believe we'll learn until we leave this earth. I believe we'll learn that's the last breath of life, we think. I do. Don't you ever get to the place where you think you know it all, but you're in trouble when you get to that place. Let me say this. This morning, amen, when we're at the bottom of the barrel of Jesus, there's contentment.
Oh, yeah.
Now listen to me, don't fret when you're at the bottom of the barrel of Jesus, there's contentment. Paul's there in Philippians 4, verse 11, he said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said, I've learned, buddy, when I'm at the bottom of the barrel, Jesus will be there. I'll be content. I've learned to be content with him.
Yes, buddy.
Let me give you another one. At the bottom of the barrel of Jesus, there is communion. Amen?
Right. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes,
that's communion. Praise God. Communion. Listen to what I've read this, but I never noticed it like this in this manner. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 21, the Bible said, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was.
That's right.
Thick darkness where God was. Amen. Hey, think nobody wants to go to the thick darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I guarantee you, unless you want to go.
No, sir, bro.
I don't want to go there. But God was there. Amen. God was there. And what did Moses get when he got there? He had communion with God. That makes it all worthwhile. Amen. I said at the bottom of the barrel, there's contentment, there's communion. Here's you another one. I find there's courage.
Amen.
There's courage.
Right.
Amen. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?
Right.
He can't do a thing.
No, sir.
If the Lord's on your side, if man can't do a thing, what can kill you? Well, it'd be the will of the Lord.
Right.
He's taking you on. I believe old Daniel, he went up to that. Up to the lion's den, and he heard the sorrow and the growl of the lion. I believe he felt like, well, live or die, I'm the Lord's. If I die, this is my time to die, the lion will kill me quickly, and I will be the Lord, and however the Lord will deliver me somehow. And I believe that's the way he thought.
Amen.
That's why you and I need to think, really.
Amen.
Amen. Stonewall Jackson, that greatest, one of the greatest generals, might have been the greatest general tactician ever lived, stood on his horse on the battlefield, sucking on a lemon. And one of his staff came up and said, General Jackson, how in the world can you sit out here sucking on a lemon palm collected like that after a battle like we just had with men laying everywhere dead and dying? He said, young man, I have learned the God that I serve, that I'm just as safe on the battlefield as I am in my living room at home.
Amen.
He said, God has appointed a time for me to die, and I'll die when that time comes, and not until that time comes.
Right.
Hallelujah!
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
No reason why we shouldn't be courageous Christians.
Yeah.
And no reason why we shouldn't be brave soldiers of the cross.
Amen.
Or ready to die for Jesus. Or ready to live for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Good.
I got one more.
Keep on.
We'll go to the house. I say we'll never work at the bottom of the barrel when Jesus, there is comfort. There is comfort.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. He's a comforter. And he's the one who knows how to comfort like nobody else knows. He's the new from Mother Figure, I believe, of the Godhead. Spirit of Christ is. Holy Ghost, don't you? Amen. I do. He's a Mother Figure. And nobody can comfort like a real good godly mother. She can comfort her family. Oh, she loves her children. A good godly mother does. She'll give her life or her children a heart. Amen. That's godly men to do that. There's more godly mothers. They'll do the little father with their children than anybody will. They will. Good mother. Amen. They sure will. They will. And I always remember what old Dr. Al Vickering said when he was a boy, wild and reckless. Didn't get saved. He was about 20 years old. Drank himself dead. Said one night, been out drinking, all liquored up, and just got home late. And said, till he stepped upon the porch. He said, just had a shake near death. He said, a bootlegger was lying waiting for somebody to come by and been stealing his liquor. And said, all the big greens been done. And said, he hollered at him and said, Oliver, there she is again. Said, come back here. He said, I already laid with a double rush up. I'm waiting on that no good for nothing thing. Then speaking in here to steal my liquor. And all the big greens were getting ready to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
When he got home, he heard he stepped upon the porch. He said, he heard his mother's voice. So he stopped and listened to the screen. The screen door was shut, the door was open, the solid door was open, and it's warm weather until you hear his mother. And, oh God.
Yeah.
Oh God, what's over offer tonight, Lord?
Hey.
Oh God, take care of him, dear God. Bring him to that place where he realizes he needs Jesus as his Savior. God, dear God, spare my son tonight.
Hey.
He said that was one of the big factors that brought him to Jesus. His dear godly mother. Oh, listen. Now bless the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, I'm telling you, this sinful, aggrieved God's Spirit, listen to me.
It's sinful to quench the Spirit of God. You ought to listen, I guarantee, with an open eye, open ears, and open heart. Hang on to the Word of God that's preached from this Bible here in the house of God. Let's quench the blessed, sweet, Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
I want to tell you what, you better watch yourself closely. If we knew how dangerous it was, listen, we'd walk with God like we'd walk on air.
Amen.
It's terrible how we talk about one another in such a way that grieves the blessed Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. God, help us today. Help us. I said, whenever we're at the bottom of the barrel of Jesus, there's comfort. That's something you can't get away from. If you're a Christian, you've got it right there. You've got the comfort, Spirit of Christ. In John 14, verse 18, listen to this. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. No matter where you go,
he's going to come right there with you. He's going to be right there with
you. No matter where you go, amen, whether it's on the battlefield, out on the highway, thank God. Let me tell you something. Thank God, God was with Geneva and I when we had that wreck across the hill.
Right.
He delivered us, I'm telling you, from sure day.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He did. And you say, preacher, what if you hadn't had your seatbelt on? I probably got killed. Ignoring the law of the land. That's breaking the Word of God.
Yeah.
I would have asked for it if I hadn't.
Right.
That's the truth.
Amen.
I've had preachers get in here and talk about breaking the speed laws and everything. Amen.
Right.
Having them, used to have them little old. What do you call them, little old? What were they? Yeah, radar detectors. Buzz box. That's what I'm kind of thinking. A couple of buzz boxes. Had them things on there and said, had that thing turned on, doing 85 now and all there. And I thought, what in the world? Well, I've got you in here preaching my people for. New standards there.
Amen.
Encouraging and seeing.
Right.
That's the truth.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's the truth.
Amen.
Sure, you don't have to do that.
Right.
It's not right.
No.
Old Brother Donnie Pollard said he was coming going somewhere and said that had a place where he was working, he was doing, maybe 20 miles over, 15 miles over, something like that. Wasn't real loud, he was going over the speed limit, and this police stopped him. And he thought, well, I'll tell him I'm a preacher. I'm going to beat him. He told me this. And Mr. Lane, and so they said, let me see you right about this. I said, what are you doing, son? He said, I'm a preacher. He said, I'm here for me. He said, well, he said, I'm going to write you up if you're a preacher. You know where it is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just being a preacher ain't going to get you out of it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. It should get you out of it.
Right.
Amen. That's what I feel about these rotten politicians. That bunch of rotten. And most of them richer than they can be. Millionaires, some of them billionaires, millionaires at the expense of our hard-earned tax dollars. Amen. Sinful, wicked. I don't know how many of them have been caught up before, Mama. And then somebody said, well, you ain't supposed to preach about politics. You think it would be right? You think I wouldn't bring grief to God if I preached that on your things and didn't preach that on theirs? You tell me. Amen. Now, I don't have to tell you to vote for Democrat or Republican. I just tell you to vote for the right one. The one that's right with God. The one that has the right way about it. Amen. The one that's against killing little babies. The one that's against a bunch of sodomites. That's all I've got to tell you to do. Because the Bible says it's sinful, all of it's wicked. And all I've got to do is preach out on their wickedness. You know which one to vote for.
Amen.
You don't vote for not guarantee you'll answer the vote one day. And it might not be the last judgment that you might have answered for what about doing this night. Say amen, that's right.
Amen.
I like to get in some of these churches and preach one time. I'm not afraid to preach out to that low down bunch. They need a man of God from the back home. I saw a lot of things that preach the Word of God to.